Lord God, we give you thanks for what you have done for us. We thank you for turning us around. We thank you for making us holy, and we acknowledge you're still making us holy. So we thank you that you continue to sanctify us, setting us aside for your purposes, that our whole heart might go after you to do your will and not be sidetracked by anything else. We need you to order our steps in your word, because we so easily and quickly will order our steps by something else. And so we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you keep coming to us, that your love is steadfast, and you keep speaking to us, and you give us another opportunity right now to hear your word and to respond. And you have given us your Holy Spirit, who helps us to respond with faith, to say yes to your word, to obey your word, to trust in your word, to trust you at your promises. And so we reach out for your word again this day. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, and order our steps in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. So turn to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5, this is where we've been in recent weeks in Ephesians. We're going to look at chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Verses 15 through 20.
A reading from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as the unwise people, but as wise. Make the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We have been in a sermon series entitled, God Has Given Us Everything We Need to Grow Up. Okay? God has given us everything that we need to grow up in Christ Jesus, to grow up as God's children, and God intends that we grow. I don't know any parent that wants to see their child stay stuck at any particular age or stay undeveloped, you know, to develop on to the next stage of their lives. And thanks be to God that our Father in heaven is like that with us, that He desires us to grow up. And He's given us everything we need to grow up. He's given us the power to comprehend the mystery of His purposes and plan, and gives us a vision and ability to comprehend it so that we might step out and respond to His vision and plan for our life and begin to walk in it. He gives us gifts for ministry so that we can minister to one another and be ministered to. He gives us a lifestyle. He gives us a lifestyle that fits Him, fits His character. That we receive and that we grow in. Amen. So we can think differently and decide differently and behave differently. Well, those are the things that we've talked about in recent weeks as we've been thinking about what God gives us, in order for us to grow up. This morning, today, our topic is, God gives us wisdom and worship. God gives us wisdom and worship for our growing up. We need wisdom and we need worship to grow as a child of God. And He gives us both. He gives us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, the Word, His call on our lives. On the one hand. On the other hand, He gives us worship in spirit and in truth. Worship, submission, surrender, openness, the receptivity of the Holy Spirit that welcomes wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Amen. He gives us wisdom and worship. And by wisdom and worship, by word and spirit, you and I grow up. We grow up into God and take on God's character as God's children. Thanks be to God. So there's two things I'm lifting up. God gives wisdom, God gives worship. First thing is God gives us wisdom. Verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. The word is be careful how you live. Just don't live any which way. Be careful. Give care to how you are living. Live wisely. In other words, verse 16, make the most of the time because the days are evil. We're going to live wisely. We're going to make the most of the time because the days are evil. My brother, my sister, are you making the most of the time? You and I only have a limited amount of time. We're here for a time and then we're gone. James says we're like a wisp of smoke here for a time and then gone. None of us knows how long our lifespan is, but, you know, or I should say before eternity, it's just like a wisp of smoke. And so the word is make the most of the time. Are you making the most of your time, my brother, my sister? Here's a question for self-examination. We can each ask it of ourselves. What are you doing with your time? Okay? If you have a job outside the home, you can think about what you are doing on the job, what you are actually doing. Where you're actually serving on your job and doing whatever your job calls you to do. After thinking about what you do on your job, consider everything you do when you're not on your job. List what you do. If you list what you do, what is on your list of things that you do throughout the week, throughout the month, day by day? What's on your list? And why is it there? Are you starting to get a list? Are you starting thinking about some of the things that you are involved in from day to day to day to day? Get everything on it you can think of. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Get it on your list and then ask, why is it on my list? Why do I do this or that thing? What is taking up your time, my brother, my sister? Step back and examine your list. What you do with your time. How much on, let me ask this first. Does your list show forth God's will for your life? Is your list an expression of God's purposes for you and for your time? Is it an expression of your calling and the ways God calls you to serve? As you look at your list, is that what it looks like? Does your list show forth God's call to be a witness, to share the good news of what God has done in Christ Jesus? Does it manifest the importance of prayer for you? Is prayer right up there on your list? And the importance of the leading of the Holy Spirit? Is worship and the Word important on your list? So let's all, each one of us, think about our lists this morning. How much on your list is simply your own agenda? Manifest your own lusts. Actions dictated by your desires, your attitudes, your old ways and habits, obsessions, addictions, sins of mind and body. How honest was your list? What on your list looks more like the flesh and the world and responses to the lies of the devil? What on your list looks like the flesh and the world? What on your list looks like God's will, manifesting God's will? What does your list show in terms of what you choose to do with your time? You choose to sit watching TV over being in Bible study or prayer. You choose sleep over worship. Choose your comfort zone over helping your neighbor in need. Maybe you choose entertaining friends to sharing good news with outcasts. Choose gossiping about another over confessing your own sins. Well, the list could go on. I mean, just, okay, about choices, list. Amen? And then notice verse 16 again. Make the most of the time because the days are evil. Days are evil. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Therefore, make the most of the time so that you do not fall into temptation. And then verse 17, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We make most of the time when we understand what the will of the Lord is for us. Amen? And that's going on our list. That's what we're doing with our time. We flounder and stumble and lose our way when we do not understand the will of God. It is foolish to live without knowing God's will. It is foolish to plunge ahead with life without understanding what God's will is. No matter how much we tell ourselves otherwise, it is foolish. It is foolish to press down a road that the Lord did not give us to walk down. There have been times when I have taken the wrong road driving, you know. I'm especially thinking about cross-country driving, when I've gotten off on the wrong road and then realized I was on the wrong road, but didn't want to go back, you know, because that just takes more time. And so I'm thinking, all right, look, I'm not that far off, right? I mean, the road I should be on is going like this, and the road I'm on is going like this, so I need to find a road that's going back this direction, you see? So I'll find a road that looks like it's going back to maybe where I'm supposed to be. And of course, then I get on that road, and it doesn't necessarily keep staying the direction that I think, and it'll start curving, and then I'll start losing my direction. Now, exactly where am I? Maybe this road here. I think maybe this road is going to get me back to where I'm getting further and further off. Of course, if my wife is with me, she has told me long before we ought to turn around or ask someone for directions. But sooner or later, as I get more and more lost, I'm going to have to turn around. And I'm going to have to backtrack. And the sooner the better. My getting unlost is going to be by turning around. In such situations, it is turning around. It's that turning around by which I'm saved from becoming further lost. Amen. Now, many of us have taken the wrong road spiritually speaking. Amen. We have taken the wrong road. God didn't have it for us. We got caught up in the wrong thing, wrong relationship, wrong place, wrong time. God didn't have it for us, or didn't have it at that time in that way. We've been outside God's will, and we have not liked where we've gotten to. And then we tried shortcuts to get back to what we thought might be a better life. Then we found the shortcuts only got us more lost and got us into more mess. Until in the end, we had to completely turn around. Had to completely turn around, turning back to the Lord. Often going back over the old terrain, picking up the pieces, making amends for this and that, going back to people. You know, some of those false roads. Asking for forgiveness, and then forgiving this person and that person, and reconciling here and making amends here. Amen. I mean, it's kind of when we turn back to the Lord, all of a sudden we got business we didn't think we'd have, you know, in making some things right that we made wrong. Amen. And that's part of it. So God's word to us is, so do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord, what it is, where He's calling you, where He's leading you. Be on that road. Be on that road. You get off that road, you turn around right away. Don't get so lost. I have to continually pray, Lord, what is your will for me? I mean, I think more than anything else, I pray, Lord, what is your will for me? What is your will for my church? This prayer goes to the heart of my relationship with God. I don't have anything that really matters outside God's will. I just don't. There are things outside God's will that call to me, but I don't want to answer them because there's no life in them. There's no life in them. My life is in God's will for me. And outside of that, what I discover, there isn't life. In God's will, there is my life, my joy, my peace. In my own hard-headedness and my going my own way, there's lostness, there's confusion, there's discord, there's brokenness. Amen. My brother, my sister, your life is in God's will for you. Amen. It's in God's will for you. So my brother, my sister, no more playing with the world and the devil. Let's let that go. Stop going back like there's anything back there for you. It is in God's will. Listen to Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So Paul says, I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as those beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. Make the most of the time. Don't run aimlessly. Don't go down roads God didn't have for you to go down. Make sure that you understand what the will of the Lord is. I believe, my sisters and brothers, sometimes we don't have to do anything until God has told us what to do. We can wait on the Lord until He shows us. And things will still be all right. You know, I mean, sometimes I believe when we get frantic and anxious and we feel like, oh, I know something's got to be done. I got to take care of this. Watch out. Watch out. I believe that's generally the time we need to stop and just wait upon the Lord and renew our strength, get our perspective, know what the will of the Lord is, that we might do that, not about the foolish thing that we're about to do out of our anxiety and our distrust and unbelief. Make the most of the time when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. When it comes to being a witness. You are my witnesses, Jesus says. Go and make disciples of all people. Paul speaks of time this way when talking about sharing the good news. He says, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. When it comes to being the witnesses God called us to be, to share the good news of Christ with others, we're to do it favorable time, unfavorable time, in season and out of season. Make the most of the time. I was thinking of something that Bishop Michael Carter, who shared with us a couple weeks ago, shared with Ellie and I after our gathering was coming to a close. There was a phrase that had been on his mind that he heard someone else say. And now it's on my mind, right? I'm going to pass it, and now it's going to be on your mind. He said, our obedience affects the destiny of others. Our obedience affects the destiny of others. Our obedience to be witnesses. Our obedience to the call to go and make disciples, to share the good news, affects the destiny of others. And he added, affects their eternal destiny. Our obedience affects the destiny of others. Make the most of the time, for the days are evil. Make the most of the time. I've been praying on what to do next after these gatherings. Lord, what is your will for your people after we're through with these gatherings? And I'm going to share with you what I see. And I'm sharing it with you because I want you to pray on this with me. Because I believe we have to move with agreement. You know, where two or three agree in my name, it will be. What I see us doing after these gatherings, starting right away in September, is doing a 10-week New Beginnings. Now, we didn't do that last year. We did 5 weeks of being disciples. And then later, we did a 5 weeks being disciples number two. And part of it, we did it because I think after our first month of, the first time we did the gatherings, you know, I think thinking about doing 10 weeks of anything looked like a lot. But you know what I believe the Lord is saying to us? He's saying, look it, don't stop now. Some in this congregation, before we came to the gatherings, were going out door to door. And for some, that was even a new thing, just stepping out. Don't stop now. Some of us just getting out of these four walls and into the courtyard and making our voices heard, maybe out into the community, but still in the courtyard. Or inviting people to come. That was a step. But the Lord is saying, I'm not through with you yet. Go and make disciples of all people. So what God has been doing this month is simply preparation for the next thing that God wants to do with the people of God at St. Thomas. And so what I'm seeing is 10 weeks of New Beginnings gathering. So we're not through gathering. There's going to be more gatherings. And more people involved with it, more presenters, more leaders, because I see more groups needing more leadership, small groups. Because what I see, and this is where the rubber meets the road, I see the people of God going out and bringing people. You know, we don't need a month to prepare to bring people. We could take a week or two. And we know people that aren't in church. I don't mean bring Christians. People that aren't in church or people that don't know the Lord. Bring them with you. Make sure they have a way to get here. These are gatherings for seekers. Will you come and just be with me for a while and seek and just hear some things and share on some things? Amen. So we bring people, we invite and bring, and we fill up this place with people that we know aren't in church, are out there somewhere. Amen. And we can do that right away. So pray on that with me, my sisters and brothers, and talk with me about it. Come back with me about it. Let's make the most of the time understanding what the will of the Lord is for us. You know, I know that all of us have many pressures on our lives. You know, and some are incessant. Some insist we listen to them and obey them. Some are loud. Some demand our attention. Talking about pressures on our lives. The one pressure that you and I are truly to listen to and follow is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you think about all the pressures on your life. But my brother and my sister, the one pressure you and I better listen to and follow is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And since the Holy Spirit often comes as a still small voice, we must go after the Holy Spirit, seeking with all our heart to hear and obey the Holy Spirit, to understand the will of God more than anything else. Unless we insist on being led by the Holy Spirit, other voices will insist that we do their bidding, and we will. We will follow them. Understand what the will of God is. That's an imperative. I mean, in the Greek, the word understands an imperative. It means just do it. Do it. Understand. Make sure you understand what the will of God is for you, that you might be doing that and not doing something else. Because the something else, there is no salvation in it. There is no blessing in it. There is no life in it. And your life will become empty and loveless. And you won't know what happened to you. There is no other way to make the most of the time but to know and do God's will. My brothers and sisters, it is God's will that we are in the Word and in prayer and worshiping Him. That brings me to the second thing that God gives us. God gives us worship. God gives us worship in spirit and in truth, without which there is no spiritual growth whatever. We might get more moral, but we won't get more spiritual. And our morality will smell. It'll be the morality of the world will say, well, that's all right, but it won't be right before God. Amen? I mean, we'll work on some things without the Spirit, without worship and spirit and truth, but there's no spiritual growth. Verses 18 through 20, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, if you are in the habit of coming to our worship service just in time for the Word, you are missing one of the most important parts of our worship service. You are missing the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among ourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Now there are some who will be new to worship as new Christians. They'll come in and it'll be a little much. Because, you know, we have a lot of world, and until we get a lot of worship in us, the world is, it's hard to worship with a lot of the world, and we gotta let go. We gotta let go. Years ago, in the winter, I used to run. I had a 4.5 mile stretch that I'd run. Part of it would be along the lakefront, which I liked. And I'd only do it in the winter. In spring, summer, and fall, I'd play tennis. In the winter for exercise, even when it was 0 degrees out, even below zero, I'd go out and run. But when I start out at the beginning, I'd go the complete 4.5 miles. But I'd run part of it, walk part of it, run part of it, walk part of it. You know, next day I'd run a little bit more of it and walk less of it until I was running the 4.5 miles, you see. I believe it's like that with worship. It's like that with worship when we're not used to it. You come for the whole time, you see. And if you're having trouble staying with some things, and if the world is grabbing at you and your feelings and stuff, all right, just stay with it. You know, walk some of the time. You know, walk through it. Go through it. You know, if it feels like you're going through the motions, go ahead, but walk through it until you start running. You know, and still it really becomes a part of you, and the Holy Spirit that's starting to fill your life is releasing you from that world that's been a part of your life, and it doesn't have the same draw, and worship becomes more and more part of your life. Now, if you've been making a practice of missing the first part of worship, you know, it ain't just that you haven't been in church for a while, but this has been something for months or maybe years. My brother, my sister, you're missing out on your growth, what God wants to do with you. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can really get His Word for ourselves. For one thing, we need to be filled with the Spirit to get filled with the Word and get the Word really planted in our hearts and changing us. Amen. Amen. Don't miss your blessing. Better come to Bible study before the service. That'd be preparation time. And then move on into praise and worship. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine. We might also say, do not be dull with sleep, but be filled with the Spirit. Come early to seek the Lord. And to be in His presence and be changed and blessed. Make the most of the time. God our Father desires for us to worship in spirit and in truth. Therefore He gives Spirit-filled worship for all who seek Him and will receive what He gives. Because we have a part in this. It is in Spirit-filled and Spirit-led worship that you and I grow. And that means we got to let God fill us. No, not look around and say, well, I guess God is filling sister so-and-so or filling brother. No, God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to abandon ourselves in worship. Not just go through the motions, but to forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. The Spirit comes to release us from the things that have grabbed at our hearts and even taken hold of our hearts. The Spirit helps us to let go and let God. The Spirit helps us into surrender of everything that does not belong to the Spirit. You know, surrender of all those things that are unbecoming to the children of God. All those things that would take us away from our Savior and from our salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us in worship. So do not be dull with sleep and indifferent to this great gift of God, the gift of worship. Run to the house of God. Run to the place of worship to worship Him in spirit and truth. Come early and stay late. Make the most of the time. If we do not worship the living God in spirit and truth, we worship some dead idol, and we can still come to church. We can go through motions and we can say we worship, but we did not. Because worship means abandonment of ourselves. Letting go and letting God. And being released from those things that have grabbed hold of our lives. So we don't end up with a dead idol that we're living for and bowing down to. That we think is going to give us life and we're trusting in. Something we're centering our life around. I saw, read something by someone named Richard Owens Roberts. Evidences of backslidden condition. Evidences of a backslidden condition. You know, backsliding is kind of like this. I knew the goodness of the Lord, and the experience of His Spirit in my life. And it's just finding enjoyment in the things of God and the Holy Spirit. But little by little, things in the world, things in my life started to take hold. And where God was filling me before in the things of God, now other things are filling me. Other things are taking their place. And the things that I enjoyed in the Lord, I'm not enjoying so much anymore because I got other interests. There are the things that are just replacing God in my life and God's power and God's work. That's backsliding, you see. And I'm going to just list some of the things that Pastor Roberts gives as evidences. You know, this is of a backslidden condition. You know, we can check our own selves out. Amen. Backslidden condition. Prayer ceases to be a vital part of a professing Christian's life. Prayer meetings are poorly attended in backslidden churches. The quest for biblical truth ceases and one grows content with the knowledge of eternal things already acquired. Backsliders are rarely diligent in their study of the Bible. They do not find themselves in the grip of a passion to mine treasures from the Word of God. Earnest thoughts about eternal things cease to be regular and gripping. As a person becomes more and more filled with his own ways, there will simply be less room for thoughts of eternity. The services of church lose their delights. Sports, recreation, and entertainment are a large and necessary part of your lifestyle when you're in a backslidden condition. Sins of the body and of the mind can be indulged in without an uproar in your conscience. Aspirations for Christ-like holiness cease to be dominant in your life and thinking. Having choked out the love of holiness, the backslider finds contentment with his current condition. He neither hungers nor thirsts for righteousness, nor feels grief for its lack. The acquisition of money and goods become a major part of your thinking. You can mouth religious songs and words without heart, religious phrases, songs, prayers, and testimonies without depth of feeling. You can watch degrading movies and television and read morally debilitating literature. The slightest excuse seems sufficient to you from spiritual duty and opportunity. You become content with your lack of spiritual power and no longer seek repeated endowments of power from on high. You pardon your own sin and sloth by saying, God understands. There is no music in your soul and no song in your heart. Injustice and human misery exist around you and you do little or nothing to relieve the suffering. Your tears are dried up, and the hard, cold, spiritual facts of your own existence cannot unleash them. God's word to the backslider is plain. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." Return. Repent. Come back. Make the most of the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. You and I do not know how many days we have left. Make the most of the time. Come back to your first love. And if the Lord hasn't been your first love, come back to Him for the first time and make Him your first love. There is nothing more important than Him in your heart and my heart, holding sway, having His way, giving a spiritual desire for the things of the Spirit and for His Word, to know His will and to walk in it. Come back to your first love. Give Him your whole heart. That is what worship is. In spirit and in truth. That is worship. And God gives us worship because He comes to give us His Holy Spirit if we will let Him. And by truly worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, you and I grow by leaps and bounds. Amen. By leaps and bounds. Our hearts have been so bound by idolatry over the years. Amen. I mean, there's so many things that have grabbed hold of our hearts. and told us they were so important. Some of us even think we're being realistic about the things, our priorities. And we are not. We are deluded by the devil. We have a worldly realism and a worldly wisdom. We do not have wisdom from on high. We are trying to take care of a lot of things and we're just thinking we're being practical. But if we are not being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit and being led into worship and submission of our lives to God, we are the most impractical beings on earth. Do you realize that, my sisters and brothers? We can't even see straight enough. We're blind and don't know it. It is in worship of the living God that we only then do we begin to make sense of things. Amen. Only worship in spirit and truth can set us free from those idols that would take hold of our hearts, those false dependencies, those false priorities, those false things that we trust in and even obey and follow after. Worship in spirit and in truth. Make the most of the time. It is God's will for you and for me that we worship Him with our whole heart and that our lives are centered around His Word, that we're in constant communication with Him in prayer and thereby grow up in Him.